In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25 and verse 14, Jesus said another parable in relation to the second coming of Christ and how we can be ready for it. For even as a man going into a far country called his servants and delivered them his goods, to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another one 1 talent, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Now each of these talents was a massive amount of money in terms of silver content, and much more in terms of buying power. Verse 16, he that had received the 5 talents went his way and traded with the same and gained other 5. And in like manner, he that had received the 2 gained other 2. But he that had received the 1, going his way, digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. But after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And he that had received the 5 talents coming brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou didst deliver to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained other 5 over and above. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will place thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now here we see that the Lord taught responsibility to his disciples according to the measure in which God had given them talents to use. We could apply that to all of God's gifts to us. We have a responsibility, finally, to answer to God and to account for everything that we have received. The important thing is not how much we produce in the world. The emphasis is not on quantity, but with the Lord, the emphasis is on quality. It's not how much we produce. It is a question of faithfulness with what we have, and that is the point of this parable, because the one who had 5 talents produced 5 more. His gain was 100%. The one who received only 2 talents produced 2 more. His gain was also 100%. And when they stood before the Lord, and the man with 5 talents gave his extra 5, and the one with 2 talents showed the extra 2 he had gained, the master gave both of them exactly the same commendation in verse 21 and verse 23. The master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Word for word, identically the same. Proving that in the final day, our rewards will not depend on how much we have produced, but it will depend on how faithful we have been with what God gave us. If God gave you only 2 talents and he gave another brother 50, in the final day that brother will have to produce 50 more to get the same reward as you who produced 2 more. It's a question of percentage, not a question of total. It's a question of quality, not a question of quantity. It's a question of faithfulness, not a question of the extent of our influence. With what God gave you, what did you produce? We can apply this to many areas. For example, with the time God gave you, all of us have spare time. Some have more spare time than others. For example, those who are married and with many children and many responsibilities and late working hours in the office or at the job don't have much spare time. We can say that they are like brothers who got 2 talents as far as time is concerned. There are many other single brothers and sisters who have plenty of spare time. They are like those who have 5 or 10 talents. And in the final day, when the Lord examines each one, He's going to examine each one according to how much time they had and how did they use their spare time. We have energy, health. Not all have the same. Some have a greater measure of health and energy than others. And God is going to evaluate us on the basis of how we use what He gave us. Money is another area where there's a lot of differences. Some have more money, others have less. They're not going to be evaluated on the same basis. It's not a question of whether you gave $100 to the Lord's work. Although a wonderful thing to do, it's not a question of quantity. Jesus Himself said that a widow who put in 2 mites had actually put more into the box than all the wealthy Pharisees who had put in much more. It is not a question of quantity. It is a question of percentage. The widow gave 100%, even though it was only 2 mites. So we see that in the parables of Jesus and the teaching of the New Testament, it is quality that God looks for. And so here, we have a responsibility with what God has given us, whether it's time or health or money. It could be influence. Maybe God has given you influence over a number of people. Have you used that influence for God? Others have less influence. They're not expected to produce so much as you. There are many material gifts and abilities God has given to us. Have you used them for the Lord? Maybe it's children. God's given you 5 children. He has given another one only 1 or 2. You have to raise 5 children for the Lord. The other guy has to raise up only 2 for the Lord. The question is, did you raise your children for the Lord, or did you raise them for the world? What did you use your talent for? Here we read of a man who had 1 talent. What did he do with it? He buried it in the ground. That is like using your talent for the things of the earth. To bury it in the ground, to bury it in the earth, is to use our talent for the things of earth. And that is as good as not using it for God at all. And so there are no returns that come from it for God. The returns are nothing. And there are many people who are using their time, their money, their energy, burying it in the ground in the sense that they're using it for the things of earth. And in effect, no returns are coming for the Lord from that gift which God gave for them to use. We know the story of the prodigal son. We can think that the prodigal son is just a picture of a person who is an outright sinner. But think of yourself in that picture. What does a son do? He received gifts from the father, and he used it all for himself. To receive gifts from God and to use it all for myself is to be a prodigal son, even if you're not a backslider or an outright sinner. We should be using our time, our energy, our money, our wealth for God. That is to be a wise and faithful steward. We are to raise our children, every one of them, for God and not for the world. How many believers are there who do that? Most believers want their children to live and become great in the world. To raise our children for God does not mean we train them all to be priests and nuns, although both are needed and both are very special and wonderful vocations, but we can raise them up to be in secular vocation. But they must live for God in their secular vocation and know how to listen to God's leading in their life if He should call them toward a spiritual vocation. This is the point. So everything that God gives us is to be used for Him. It could also be applied to spiritual talents and gifts. There are spiritual gifts God gives us. He has given more to some and less to others. A man like St. Paul was an apostle and a prophet and a shepherd and a teacher and an evangelist, all rolled in one. There are others who may have only one gift, but however many we have, the important thing is, have we buried it in the ground? Have you used it for your own honor, to make money for ourselves, or have you used it for God? If we had used it for God, we have invested it wisely. If we have used it for ourselves, it has been buried in the earth. This is the way to find out whether we fall into the category of those who invested their talents or the ones who buried it in the ground. Do I use it for myself, or do I use it for God? The one who uses it for himself, whether it be materially or spiritual gifts, is like the one who buried it in the ground. And when the master came, it says he that had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know that thou art a hard man. Thou reapest where thou hast not sown, and gatherest where thou hast not strewed. And so he had a wrong understanding of his master. His relationship with his master was a legalistic relationship, in the same way that people knew God under the law. It was not one of grace. He thought his master was a hard, exacting man who demanded even to reap where he did not sow. And the result of that type of relationship with God is that a man becomes afraid. There's fear in his life. I was afraid, he says in verse 25. I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. He was legalistic. Here is exactly what you gave me, and here you have it back. But his Lord answering said to him, wicked and slothful servant. Such a person is a wicked person. Do you realize that when you use God's gifts for yourself and not for the glory of God, you are a wicked person? The master says, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strewed. The master is using the servant's own words. Of course, the master was not like that, but he was quoting his own words to him and saying, then you ought to have put my money at least in the bank, so that on my arrival I would have received at least the interest. He says, take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For to every one that hath shall be given, and he shall abound. But from him that hath not, that also which he seemeth to have shall be taken away. What does this mean? It looks unjust to give to the one who already has, but the meaning is that everyone who has obedience to him, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have obedience, even what he does have will be taken away from him. The one who uses what God gives him, God will give him more. When you are faithful with your talents, God will expand your talents. But if we are unfaithful with our talents and live for ourselves, then the scriptures say, the unprofitable servant cast ye out into the exterior darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is then we are exactly like the unbelievers.